You guys,
we are here.
Food. And hope everybody's hungry.
Yeah. Today's show is going to be about curry.
Yeah.
Yeah, curry. It's probably not going to be a very long show, but you know, I'm just going to give you guys the brief background about curry. And if you never had curry, to kind of let you know what it is, because not everybody in the United States has had curry. British people, you tell them curry, and they go, "Oh yeah, yeah." They grew up with the shit.
Well, yeah, okay. You can get that at like fish and chip shops. Yeah. Everywhere.
Right. And then we're also going to talk about the difference between like authentic curries and just the basic street curry that's what you're getting today. It's almost kind of like Chinese fast food. A lot of the stuff you'll find today in these Indian restaurants, they'll fucking name it. They'll say it's a chicken curry or a chicken tikka or a fucking korma. And when you really analyze what they're doing, it's variations on the same fucking concept over and over again.
Pretty much, yeah.
Same thing that they do in Chinese food. It's the same method, it's the same variations. And once you kind of see the pattern of what they're doing, it's easy to make, okay? Now, that's not the same. What they sell you on the street or in these restaurants, that's not the same as like an authentic, handcrafted family dish that somebody in India is making. It's not going to be, you know, it's not quite the same. If you analyze a lot of Indian cooking, it's kind of like folk cooking. They do, every person kind of does their dish their own way. There's a method to the madness, but the variants are endless. Usually when it comes to something that is like official, this is like an official recipe. It's usually some shit that's coming out of the Taj, which is like the number one top Indian hotel. Their restaurant that they have there at the Taj is fucking fantastic. Like for instance, butter chicken. Butter chicken came from the Taj.
Or from another like high-end hotel.
Or another high-end hotel.
In that area. I think
butter chicken came from the Taj, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think it was the Taj Mahal. But, and from there, it became authentic. But that's not unusual, because a lot of the so-called super authentic Cajun food is Paul Prudhomme. Fucking Paul Prudhomme. It's from the 1960s, 70s. It's not that old. Well, Indian food is like that too. It kind of changes with the times. So, what is a curry? For you fucking American Luddites that have never had a fucking curry. Curry is a lot like chili. Chili is a variation on curry. It's like a beef curry with beans some people in Texas will say, "Would you ever fucking put beans in curry? It's meat."
In
curry. It's just meat. That's true too. I like it both ways. But if you just have like a beef curry, I'm getting confused. You just get a beef chili, it's fantastic. There shouldn't be any beans in it.
Well,
beans
that's are chili. Filler. Chili con carne.
Yeah, chili con carne. Yeah. Anyway. So, okay, here's a good example. We were at one of our favorite Indian restaurants. It's called The Fifth Element. And this is back when they had the buffet open. All right. And me and Jenny were the only white people in there. It's all Indians in there eating. And then comes in a fucking lawn crew. All right. You remember those guys, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
They had their lawn vehicle out front and everything.
They sat right behind us.
It's this big, burly redneck with like these three black dudes. You know what I mean? They come walking in and they're like, "What the hell is this?" And he's going, "Y'all gonna love this. This is good. Yeah, this is good. This is like..." And they went out there to go get some of that curry. And it was everything. Chicken tikka and curry and kormas. They had all that. And you could just hear them just fucking mowing down on that shit back there. And they go, "Oh yeah, this is good. This is good." And fucking he goes, "This is man's food. This is man's food." This is man's food.
Well, he was like telling them what to get and telling them what was in everything and stuff. Like, it was so funny.
Yeah. So it does have a very hearty, curry has a very hearty flavor to it that appeals to the masculine side. Okay, it does. Women love it too, though. It's good.
But manly, yes. It's but I manly. Like it too.
Yeah, yeah,
just
yeah.
Like Irish spray. Yeah.
Well, it's not like, you know... Okay, this dude, they were my barometer, okay, of acceptance. These guys, this is working class dudes, you know what I mean? And they were fucking chowing down on that stuff. Well, that's what they do in India. It's mostly the working class eating. Now, these are not the kind of guys that would have eaten sushi.
Yeah.
No, they'd have been you're going to cook my fish. You know, it's going to be like that. It's not like, you know, this, it's very hearty. It's like chili and you eat it with rice or you eat it with flat bread. You know, they'll just kind of sop it up in bread and eat it and eat it out of a bowl. That's one way that you can do it. Because in India, they tend not to use knives and forks. They'll use a piece of naan bread to scoop it up out of a bowl.
Yeah, I like it like that.
They'll even pick up rice like that. You know, I can't do that.
Well, okay, I'm not going that far. But I would. But I really do like, I like it with rice. But yeah. If I had a choice between have it with rice or have it with naan, I would rather have it with naan and just scoop it up with naan.
Now, basically what this is to make curry, what you're doing is you're taking a blend of spices and you're cooking those spices in either oil or clarified butter.
Okay. Yeah.
Now, if you're going to cook them in butter, it's a little bit more temperature sensitive because if the temperature is too high, the butter will scorch and it'll burn the spices. So starting off new, what I would do is start with vegetable oil because vegetable oil has a very high burning point. So it's a little more forgiving in the temperature. You put your spices in the oil and cook it, slowly simmer it until it all kind of darkens and cures together. All right. Then the next step is always something to do with onions. Onions is your thickener in these Indian dishes. And then after that, your meat. And then after that, water or some kind of fluid. Okay, so it could be water. It could be some kind of broth. It could be a mixture of cream. It could be yogurt. Now, some people are going like, yogurt? What the hell? Yeah, they'll eat just plain yogurt, plain white yogurt. And you can get it from Indian stores real cheap. Or you can use Greek yogurt or just regular generic flavored yogurt. That'll work too. You can get it from the grocery store. It's cheap in the bigger containers, you know. And it's all one pot cooking. You're cooking in the same pot, same way you do it with chili. Now let's go back to the onions. Okay. A couple different ways you can do the onions. You want to do the onions and the spices separately first. Okay. So what you might want to do is it all depends on the recipe. You're going to be following a recipe and you're going to notice that the kormas and the curries and the tikkas are all real similar. And the recipe is going to call for a different order of things and whether or not you're chopping onions or blending onions. Okay. But usually the onions and the spices are kind of prepared separately first because you're going to probably use the onions as a thickening agent or you're probably going to put tomato paste in with the onions. There's going to be a bunch of different things you have to do. So what I do is I take onions and dice them and I start cooking them in oil until they're browned on the edges. All right. And depending on the recipe, either the onions will stay whole or cubed, or they're going to be blended with an emulsion blender to turn them into a paste. Let's say it's going to be a paste. Okay. Once they're brown, I'm going to tip the pot over on its side and stick my emulsion blender down in there with that hot oil and just blend it while it's hot. And it'll turn into a damn white cream. Then let it cook a little bit more. You'll see the oil separating from the onions again. And then put your spice in there that you already pre-cooked. You might have put it in a little bowl just to hold it. That'll go in there. And then a lot of times the recipe will call for tomato. If you have whole tomato, just throw it into leave it in a can and use the emulsion blender. If it's tomato paste, just put the paste in. Okay. Now here's something that a lot of Indian restaurants will do, and you'll see Indian chefs talk about add tomato paste. And when you look at the tomato paste that he's using, it's damn ketchup. They'll use ketchup. And it makes
close enough.
It makes sense because you can get it out of the bottle quickly. You can measure it very precisely. And a lot of these Indian recipes end up using sugar anyway. The vinegar and stuff kind of boils out. So it ends up just being tomato paste and sugar. You're going to add salt later on and it'll counteract that. So some recipes you'll see with some cooks, they'll just add a bunch of ketchup to it. So you got the spices, the onions, and the ketchup, and you're cooking it slowly, kind of reduce it down. And then there's going to be adding meat. Depending on the recipe, the meat might have been cured. It's some kind of meat. Maybe it's cubed chicken. Maybe it's chicken breast. Maybe it's chicken thigh, boneless. Maybe it's on the bone. Each recipe is going to call for something different. Maybe it's lamb. Maybe it's goat.
Maybe it's fish.
Maybe it's fish. Although fish tends to break apart. It's too light and flaky. Yeah. You want to add that very late in a cooking recipe, all right, for Indian food. Or maybe it's shrimp, which you would add that late too, because that only takes a few minutes to cook. So, but the standard is chicken or lamb. So you're going to throw that in there, and you're just going to cook it on low, all right, for a long time until it kind of tenderizes. Now, some recipes will say, well, slow cook it first. In other words, they're telling you to pre-cook the meat, which that comes out real good. If you have a pressure cooker, you can pre-cook that meat, make it tender just in a few minutes.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of those restaurants are doing with lamb. It's pressure cooked. And if you don't have a pressure cooker, then you're just shit out of luck. You're fucked. What the hell are you doing with a kitchen? You don't have a pressure cooker. You got to have a fucking pressure cooker. All right. They don't cost that much. Go buy you a pressure cooker.
And they don't explode like they used to.
They don't explode like they used to. So if it's lamb or anything that's kind of tough, that would take a long time to slow cook it, pressure cook it first, and then just pour it and its fluids into the damn curry mix. The last stage is usually adding the fucking dairy, okay? Which is either going to be cream or yogurt or both. And maybe a little bit of water to thin it out. Sometimes it might be some kind of a broth to thin it out. Each recipe is going to call for something different. And then it's going to end. You're going to come to the end of cooking that Indian dish. It's going to look kind of strange sometimes to a Westerner because you might see oil floating on it. Indians eat a lot of oil. When you see oil separating from the cooked spices, you know that it's cooked right. So you'll see, and it also, some of it doesn't have it. It depends on what it is. Like tikkas tend to be pink and there's no oil in it. Just pay attention to the photographs. You can go on YouTube and see Indians of all different types, you know, girls at home cooking it, old ladies at home cooking things. A lot of times their English isn't good. But if you already kind of know generally the recipe because you've read, you're reading it, you can see what they're doing. You go, okay, I see. And you'll understand why they did that. Now, as a general rule of thumb, just like chili, curry's better on the second and third day.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah. You kind of want to make a lot of it. Because it's got spices in it, it's naturally preserved. I've cooked curries before, and they've been good for over a week in a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would think a lot of those Indian homes, especially in the poor neighborhoods, don't have a refrigerator. It sits in a pot, probably up against, in a cupboard, bugs crawling on it probably. And probably good for a week because, and it's hot down there because the spices just kind of, before refrigeration, they use spices as preservatives. So, you know, it takes a long time for things to rot when there's fucking spices on them. But this is a very general outline and an introduction to cooking curries. Curries is kind of like the time I did the shows on sauces. They got sauciers out there that fucking cook a million different sauces. That's all they do is they're just sauce experts. Indian food's kind of like that too. There's a bunch of different variations on curries. Some of them are just vegetables, vegetable type curries. And then they'll give it a fancy name like vindaloo. To me, vindaloo is just vegetable curry. The process is very similar, but it's more like some families might use that as a side dish. I don't really know. But everything in their repertoire tastes like one pot cooking. It's variations on the same theme over and over again. You cook one of those dishes, you basically cooked them all. It's a lot of it.
Yeah, it's basically like a meat or a main vegetable in a sauce.
Yeah.
Either served over rice or with naan or with both
things. Yeah. Is it on the bone or off the bone? Is it creamier or is it more tomatoey? Is it savory or is it more sweet? It's just variations of the same things. Is it more turmeric or is it more garam masala or more cumin? That's another thing. The basic Indian spice blend is something called garam masala, which is just like, masala means spicy. It probably just means like spicy mix or some shit like that. And if you can't find garam masala, there are recipes for garam masala. And it's just usually it's a mixture of things like cumin, turmeric, some kind of chili powder. What else is in that? Coriander.
Cinnamon, maybe?
Maybe cinnamon, maybe coriander, maybe a little bit of clove. They're family versions of garam masala. So garam masala is the very basic spice mix. Most recipes will call for a certain amount of garam masala, but then they'll say, and 3 tablespoons of turmeric, or and 2 tablespoons of chili powder. So, you know, you just got to go by the recipe. Each recipe's different, you know. Let me go look, see if there's any questions in the comments.
I wanted to mention, too, that even though curry is kind of like a really generic term, and they kind of make a lot of the stuff the same way, but even some dishes that are called different things are made in a similar way, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because like I said, say, for example, like you're talking about a biryani, but that's kind of like the same thing, except you layer it between layers of rice, and it's like slightly different, but it's not really all that different.
Yeah.
So the cool thing about a lot of Indian cooking is if you kind of learn the process, then you can pretty much make a wide variety of things, because mostly mostly the process is the same. It's just sometimes the spice mix is a little different, or the order is a little bit different.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much the same stuff. I was going to ask too, because you said about using the onion paste as a thickener.
Yeah.
Some of them have like nut paste too, like almond paste, or
Sometimes made out of cashews.
Or cashews.
Cashews, some of it's almonds. And then you can go, you also tend to have to make ginger garlic paste. You can buy ginger garlic paste from an Indian store.
Yeah, we usually
do. It comes in a big jar, and it's just ground ginger and ground garlic together, and it saves you a lot of time. So ginger garlic paste is usually in there. It's just one of the things that they use. They use it almost kind of like a cooking condiment. I mean, it's like a base for cooking things. That's usually added kind of like towards the end part of where the onions are starting to brown. Sometimes it's done in with the spices at the same time, too. There's a couple different variations. Another variation is instead of cream or instead of yogurt, they're going to put in coconut milk.
Yeah.
But that's, Indians will do that, but that's kind of more of a Thai thing. That's like, they would consider that to be kind of some foreign flair, but I have seen them use it.
Well, and Amanda was saying too that she's lactose intolerant, so she uses coconut milk when she makes Indian food.
Yeah.
Just because she can't have cream, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a totally acceptable, and we've used it before too.
Yeah.
But like you said, that is more, and the weird thing about it too is that, you know, all throughout Asia, really, you know, there's Thai food, there's stuff like that they call curry, but it's not exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, like I said, it's a very general term.
Yeah, like biryani is really more like Indian jambalaya.
Yeah, okay?
It's a rice and meat dish. You've cooked, to do it the right way, you're cooking everything in one big old pot, and usually it's a whole damn lamb on a bed of rice.
Yeah.
It's all kind of, and with piled up on rice and cooked in one pot. They're doing crazy shit like that.
Right?
That would be like biryani, all right? But at home, usually what you're doing is cooking the rice and the meat separately. And then once it's all done, you add it together and layer it together to make a rice dish that has spiced meats in the middle of it, kind of like jambalaya, but it's layered.
Yeah.
Like a lasagna, in a way.
Yeah, kind of like you can kind of go
like
down
a rice
through it.
Lasagna.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. But if you actually were to analyze what you've done, the meat and spice segment of the dish is like a very condensed curry.
That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. It's just that the blend of spices might be different. And it's the same thing for like what you'd get on the street for korma. Korma's a variation on curry.
Yeah.
But it's brown, all right? But street curry is, street korma and street curry is not the same as the real deal. Korma is not Indian in the way you would think it is. Korma is Mughal. They were kind of like the Islamic invaders that came into India a long time ago. And that was one of their dishes. And it was like curry. They'll make it like curry, but the real dish wasn't really like it. It was onions and almond paste based curry that had lamb in it or goat, and it was put in a pot, and then the lid on the pot was sealed up with
it's like some kind of dough.
Bread dough to keep the moisture from escaping. And it was cooked very slowly over a long period of time, kind of like a crock pot cooking.
Yeah.
And, well, to do that in a restaurant is, you just don't have time.
Time prohibitive. Okay.
So you can execute korma in a way, in the same way you would make curry, too. It's just another variation of it. It'll save you a lot of time. Let me see, what else?
And Memories of India, one of our favorite Indian restaurants around here, they have, their lamb korma is real amazing. Good. That's like my favorite thing. Somebody, Mango was asking if we had made anything with cheese, like saag paneer.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we have lots of things.
We make saag paneer all the time.
Yeah, saag paneer is actually one of my favorite Indian dishes, I have to say. I love paneer. I can eat anything
with paneer. Yeah, you can also take the paneer out and do that same dish basically with chicken. That's good, too.
Or put chicken and paneer
in it. Or chicken
We've
and
done that as well. We've done that also. Yeah. But yeah, when the buffet was still open at Fifth Element, one of my favorite things that they made was like chicken tikka, but it was paneer instead of chicken. Man, that shit was delicious. I could have just eaten that.
Yeah, for people that don't know what chicken tikka is, it's small pieces of chicken meat, boneless, in kind of a pink gravy, pink sauce. It's nice. It's mild, creamy. It's savory with there's no way to describe it other than that, is it?
I've seen tikka done with like full pieces of chicken too.
It can be on the
you
bone.
You can do it on the bone. It can be on the bone. It's just, you know, I guess at the buffet, it's easier to just have it all cut off a chicken,
you know? Now there's a bunch of vegetable versions of curry. Sometimes it's whole vegetables. Or not whole vegetables, what would you call it? Sometimes it's things like lentils, like dal, which is like yellow.
Like chickpeas?
Dal is like yellow, green, like green peas, but they're yellow and they're split, like a split pea. That's dal.
Yeah.
It's a lentil. You can make that, you can make curry out of that. You can also make curry out of chickpeas. I have a bunch of dried chickpeas that they use. Now, the thing is with that is that you have to soak them. Even if you soaked them for a long time, you're probably not going to get those things to fully rehydrate. I found the best thing to do is to pressure cook that. It doesn't take long. A few minutes. You pressure cook peas or anything dried peas, dried chickpeas. You want to pressure cook it.
Amanda was saying, too, that her favorite vegetable curry that she made was either she had one with chickpeas and carrots or she did one with cauliflower, which is also actually really... Well, I don't know if we've maybe made a cauliflower one a couple of times.
They've had it... Yeah,
I've had it at restaurants.
They've had it down there with cauliflower and different kinds of squash.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, real I like good. That. Yeah,
with
I like
whole
that.
Whole tomato in it sometimes.
Yeah.
Indian food is kind of like the ultimate poor people food. And people are like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah, India's poor, but most countries were poor when their cuisine started, including American food. Started off as poor people food. It's very easy to take an expensive component and make that taste good. There's no challenge because you're just letting the component speak for itself.
Yeah, that's why it's expensive.
The challenge is to take something that's cheap and plentiful that nobody really wants and to turn that into something that tastes fantastic. And the Indians did a really good job at that, and so did the Mexicans. A lot of Mexican food is stuff that on its own, there's nothing to it. It's just corn and pork. That's the basis of most of what they eat.
Yeah.
Huaca, which is, what do you call it? Thanks. Avocado, onion, a little bit of tomato. And with that, they can fucking do anything. With corn, they can make tortillas, which who would have thought of that?
I mean,
you wouldn't think of that. I mean, they thought of it, you know. So, Indian food is like one of the best of the poor people food. You eat like a king. Now, there's some dietary problems with it, though. It's very, very high in carbohydrates, very heavy in pretty bad oils, with vegetable oil. That's pretty bad. A lot of meat oils in it, too. The cooking process releases a lot of oil. If that bothers you, kick the fucking pot over to the side and scoop that oil up out of there and throw it away. An Indian would drink that like nothing, just sop it up. Because
don't waste it, that's good stuff.
Yeah, well, it makes sense under their conditions. They're probably not getting a whole lot of a protein. And you know what I mean? So having fats kind of gives you that feeling of being full.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because carbohydrates give you a carbohydrate crash and you'll get fucking sleepy and then you get hungry again. So eating fat under that condition, you know, it's like probably pretty good because you're trying to get every bit of nutrition out of every meal you get. If you're living out somewhere in Indian hood, trying to survive on fucking 30, 40 cents a day, then yeah. But the most common thing that they eat out there in the Indian hood is something called sambal, which is kind of like a spicy vegetable noodle and rice stew. And you can get a big old cup of sambal for a few pennies. And that's like their version of a burger and fries. Matter of fact, Gordon Ramsay was making sambal with him, remember?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I really actually did like, I bought him for his birthday or Christmas or something a long time ago, Gordon Ramsay's Indian cookbook.
Yeah.
Because he went all around India and like cooked with all, he made a TV show out of it.
It was good, but his spice ratios were way too mild.
He erred on the side of mild. Well, like I said, it's easy to add more if you want it spicier. Well, it's even too mild for me and I like it mild.
I respect Ramsay, but he's a pussy. When it comes to things that are hot, he's, oh, that's hot. I don't understand it. Well, maybe, you know, he does have expensive taste buds, and he doesn't want to burn his taste buds out, I guess.
Well, yeah. And like I said, I don't mind stuff that's a little bit spicy, but after a time, it's like I want to be able to taste the food, not the heat.
He'd never make it down south in Louisiana or Mexico where shit's fucking hot, you know.
Because I feel like sometimes people just like to eat hot food because they're like, I'm better than you, I ate hot food. No. You know what I mean? But it's like, I don't see the point of it up to us after a certain point because you can't really taste anything.
There's some kinds of heat. I just fucking love it.
It depends on the type of heat that it is.
Right.
I mean, but even when I get Indian food, because I know there's kind of, and maybe this is still like a misperception, but I think people feel like, you know, Indian food or Thai food is like all really hot, and it's not. I mean, you can get... Shit, if you go to any Indian restaurant, you can tell them you want it mild, and it's like they might look at you funny, but they'll still make it like that.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, I usually prefer to get it that way, like either mild or medium, because if it gets too hot, I just, like I said, I don't really enjoy it because I feel like I'm just fighting with the food, and also it's going to upset my stomach later, whereas if it's mild, it won't.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? So I don't know. But, you know, everything's not hot.
Yeah, but if you guys have listening, you've never had Indian food, go to your local Indian restaurant or go to one that's rated pretty well on Yelp or whatever and go down there and get you some chicken curry, chicken tikka, something like that. Go to a buffet.
So you can try lots of different things.
Just try different things and then pick one that you like and then go home and research that and see if you can execute that.
I was going to say, too, if you're a vegetarian, there are a lot of really, really good vegetarian Indian dishes because a lot of the dishes are so good. Like Saag Paneer doesn't have meat in it.
Yeah.
And obviously you can't, it's not vegan because it has paneer and that's cheese. But if you're a vegetarian, then shit, I could eat that all the time and not even miss the meat in it. I wanted to say that Kyle Alexander says, huge fan of the channel, first time watching live.
What's up, Kyle?
Well, hey, welcome, Kyle.
Yeah. Now here's some other advice I'm going to give you. You're going to find all kinds of crazy ass Indian rices out there. Basmati and, you know, jasmine. And over and over again, it's been confirmed not only by my own experience, but by the recommendations of other Indian people and fucking Pakistani women that cook this stuff too, or things like this. They will tell you over and over again, you want to get a brand called Royal, and that's what I get. It's Royal Basmati.
Yeah, we get that big 20-pound bag.
Get a big 20-pound bag. It comes in a big burlap bag with two handles on the top of it.
Yeah.
It's brown burlap with red and blue. It says Royal on it. And that's their best one. A lot of that other stuff, it's harder to cook. It's not as forgiving. It either falls apart or it's gummy. It doesn't get fluffy enough. But no, if you're pimping and you're in India, you can buy Royal. You don't buy that other shit. And the difference in price Well, the difference in price can be almost twice as expensive, actually.
It's good, Royal. Though.
But still good. It's not, you can get a big bag of it for like $25, $30.
Yeah, but that's like a 20-pound bag, right? Yeah, is it 10 pounds or 20 pounds? I can't remember. And it's a big bag.
It lasts forever.
Yeah, because we only make like 2 cups of rice at a time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it comes out like pretty much perfect every single time. Like it's exactly right. It's just exactly fluffy. Yeah. It's not too soft.
It's long, narrow grains, and they have a slight almond flavor to them.
Yeah, it's kind of nutty taste.
Yeah, and you don't have to add anything. You can add.
You can. We have, but
you don't have to add anything if you don't want to.
I mean, you can throw some cardamom pods in there.
Like a thing of cinnamon.
Like a little star anise.
Star anise in there, maybe a couple basil leaves. But you put that in oil first, or butter first.
Yeah.
And cook it in the bottom of the pan, let it release. And then you throw the rice in there and the water and cover it and cook as normal, and it'll come back. It'll just be beautiful.
Yep. Completely fluffy every single time.
And it'll be brown, and with all the full spices in, throw the spices out, that rice is perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Amanda said, the reason I've drifted toward Indian food is because it's mostly vegetarian friendly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much anything can be made vegetarian, any dish.
Yeah, Indian food's the only vegetarian food that is acceptable to me in terms of flavor. It's got a robust flavor. I'm satisfied with it. So I'll eat that. A lot of other vegetarian food, then it's not working with anything. It's just not impressive.
Well, it's just because, I mean, Indian food is so focused on, it's so spice focused.
Spiced, yeah.
That it has like all these really complex spicy flavors, and they all like work so well together that even if you're just eating vegetables, you know, just cauliflower or whatever, it makes everything taste so luscious that you don't really feel like you're not like, oh, you know, I miss the meat or anything like that. Like I said, I could eat saag paneer every day and not really miss meat at all because it's so good.
Yeah. Nutrition-wise, I mean, I had to go back over this. Nutrition-wise, you don't want to be a vegetarian. I mean, if you're a vegetarian, you want to supplement that with some kind of a protein, like whey protein drinks. Maybe you're also going to want some whatever that shit was called. I forgot. I don't have to worry about it too much anymore. I get enough protein. But, you know, I have people fucking get in the comments, oh, no, I've been working out for 30 years, and I'm a vegetarian and this and that. And get, yeah, but there's... No vegetarians have ever won Olympia, okay? Just no vegetarians have won Olympia. And that's the fucking top pinnacle of the fucking mass monsters. If you're on any kind of anabolic fucking steroids and shit like that, you're going to have lots of protein. A lot of those guys are eating damn 2 dozen eggs a day. When you look at what those fuckers eat, it's fucking amazing. It has to have lots of protein, have to have minimum amount of calories. And that tends to be the problem with vegetarian diets. There's not a lot of protein. To make the protein requirements, then you have to eat fucking 9, 10, 20,000 damn calories a day. So very high in calorie if you're trying to achieve the protein levels. You need the protein because once you get up to a certain size, your body's just a protein synthesizing fucking machine. You'll lose muscle mass. And, you know, if you're fucking 15% lean and weighing fucking 200 fucking pounds plus, that's a lot of fucking lean body mass you got to maintain. Vegetables won't cut it. Now, a lot of those guys, there's a lot of... Now, some guys will show up, here's my pictures of me as a vegetarian, this and that, and that's all that shit coming off of Instagram. I've researched it over and over again with fucking professionals that are into this. There's things out there called fake natties, or excuse me, fake vegetarians. Guy claims he's a vegetarian, but he's not. And then he's also doing a bunch of steroids and on a bunch of PEDs. So it's just, don't believe what people say. That's just what I'm... Don't believe what people say until you see fucking blood work. And then you can start believing it.
I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
All right. So Amanda said, basmati rice is the only rice that is not cooking kryptonite for me. This is embarrassing for me because I lived in an Asian nation. It really does seem like the... style of rice that works out the best most of the time.
Because
I feel like a lot of people have trouble with various other bits of rice. You know, you overcook it, you undercook it, you know, it's too hard, it's too soft, it's too gummy, it's whatever. But basmati seems to come out.
Yeah.
As long as you do it, because we do it exactly the same every time. You put 2 cups in a measuring cup, you soak it in water for a little while, then you take that, you put it in the pan. And with, we usually do 2 cups of rice to 3 cups of water, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's 2 to 3. And then you put that in there, you put the lid on it, let the pot boil, and then take it off the heat for a minute and then like put it back on there and then just let it sit.
Another thing you can do is that you can have a little bit of oil on the bottom of the pan and you can drop the pre-soaked rice grains into the oil and you can toast the rice.
Yeah.
Before you add the water.
Yeah, you don't have to do that, but you
that,
can.
That is good, too. It kind of releases more of a little nutty flavor to it. But, yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else to say about it. See if there's any more questions about that.
Yeah, I don't... Hopefully, it's not going to crash, because I haven't got any new chat for a little bit.
Yeah,
Oracle says there's a rice variety known as Tex-Mati here, a variation on buzz. I'd actually never heard of that.
Yeah, I have problems with some of the most common rice. Like, I have a lot of problem cooking parboiled rice, the cheap American parboiled rice.
I do as well.
It turns into mush.
Yeah, it never comes out right.
It's very sensitive to the actual pot that you're cooking it in.
Yeah.
It wants a pot of a certain size, a certain dimension. It's got to be a certain thickness on the bottom of the pot. If you try to get away, it doesn't... I tried everything. Even tried rinsing the rice off before doing it. It just comes out like fucking mush or splits apart. It's just real... I haven't mastered that rice yet.
It's finicky.
And that's supposed to be like your basic bitch rice.
That's like the easy
and,
rice that's...
Yeah, and
that we grew
I
up
fuck
like
that
Uncle
rice
Ben's
up all the time.
I do as well.
I just use basmati.
Yeah, we use that for pretty
much
everything.
Yeah, use it for everything. And same thing happened. I got some of that jasmine rice, and that was even harder than parboiled rice. And you'll follow the instructions to the letter, and it'll still come out like shit, like gummy, or still hard, one way or the other. And it has to do with the size of the pot, the dimensions of the pot. Is it a pot or is it a pan?
Yeah, because we use kind of, for making rice, we usually use like a skillet, but with higher sides.
You have to find which pot it likes.
Yeah.
And
it's not telling you.
It's not really telling
you. You can ask it all you want and it doesn't talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Tex-Mati is a hybrid of long grain American rice and basmati. That's interesting. I had never actually heard of that. Wonder what dishes they use that in.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. But yeah. Seriously, did you have anything else you needed to add? You don't have anything else you needed to
add? No. Hugo says that toasting rice is how they make it in Mexico. Yeah. There's a lot of good Mexican variations of rice. A lot of good Spanish rice, too, that you'd find in Mexico sometimes. But you can make that. You can make that from nothing. You know, just turmeric. Turmeric and then whatever your vegetables are. Maybe chicken stock. That's the easiest way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it.
All right. So that'll do it for our On the Menu show. Tomorrow, we're going to do a matinee. We're going to talk about The Mummy, the Tom Cruise one.
Yeah.
Yes,
The Mummy.
We finally broke down and watched it.
Yeah, rented it. I'll give you a hint. I liked it. Jenny didn't like it. I liked it.
I thought it was okay.
I liked it.
I didn't love it. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
I was expecting a fucking dumpster fire. I had fun watching it. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow at 3:00 because I kind of want to get into it. Like I said, I'm not gonna like shit on it too much or anything, but it's I didn't hate it. It was all right. Anthony Bourdain, okay. All right, so that'll do it for today's live stream. Thanks everybody for dropping by. Have a good rest of your afternoon, and we will see you guys tomorrow. Bye.